You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gabin. That right there. Greg Ducharme. Greg, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you too, Rick. I know it's a little earlier where you are, and yeah. I know you haven't had any trick-or-treaters yet.
No.
I haven't either, but I'm wondering how many pieces of their candy have you stolen already?
So here's the thing. So this is now the second, is this the second or the third? It might be the third Halloween we've been here, but the first one might have been like October 2020. And I don't think we have not had a trick or treat. No trick or treaters came last year.
No, zero.
I don't think we live in like a great spot. So we've got like one small bag of candy just in case, but I am not expecting much, and I'm expecting to eat all of that myself.
What'd you go with? Is it a variety pack?
Yeah,
is it a single variety,
like the whatever they have, like the Hershey's, Reese's, Kit Kat, you know what I mean? Like the classics.
Yeah. So I mean, you're choosing this for yourself, and you're going chocolate over.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting Starburst.
No, I'm not. I'm a chocolate guy. I'm a Reese's cup. That's the king.
Oh, it is number one for you.
Number one by far, not close.
Yeah, it's number two on my board. I would have it as the second highest priced in the field.
What would be number one?
Kit Kat would be number one for me.
Kit Kat's good. Kit Kat's
Yeah, nice. I love it. It's simple. It's you know what you're gonna get. It's great. It's got great packaging. It's got it all.
You know who has the best marketing is Twix, because you can do the left Twix or the right Twix.
Oh yeah, Twix is good. That's a good, yeah, but not even a candy bar though. Apparently, it's known as a cookie bar.
Ooh, that could be debated. You have children though, so have you been? What is like the costume of the year? What's everybody going as?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I saw my son had a parade at school today. We had a Halloween party last night where I had to miss a little bit of it for our recap. So I didn't see a whole huge group of kids, but everybody at school was something different. I didn't see two of the same things.
All right.
My family, we all went last night as characters from Sonic.
I saw you were, hold on, do not tell me, because I remember his name. I think his name's Dr. Robotnik.
Well, he may be, it's Egghead.
Egghead.
Yeah, he's an evil professor.
Yeah.
At least in the movie where Jim Carrey's in it. Jim Carrey plays this. He plays Egghead. He's an evil professor.
Okay.
Now maybe this? in the comic book you might have that name right.
This is from this. These are characters from Sonic, is where you were going, right?
Yes.
Okay. So apparently, they changed his name over the years.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Over in the video game, he was Dr. Robotnik. That's how I know him.
Okay.
Now he's Dr. Eggman, which is, first off, if you haven't seen Eggman or Dr. Robotnik, it's one hell of a mustache.
Oh, it's awesome. And I had a fake mustache on. It's very full. It's something else. I mean, it was getting in my mouth. It was very uncomfortable, which is how you know it's a high quality piece of facial hair. But it took Eric Van Rooyen, and it kind of brings things into question on best mustache.
I love that. All right, well, we'll see how many kids, if any, show up at the house tonight. We have a small bag of candy just in case, but otherwise we think it's going to be pretty low key over here. You know where it's not going to be low key? Mayakoba. because we're headed back to El Chameleon. Victor Hovland going for his third consecutive win at this event. But let's talk golf course here, Greg. And producer Troy, if we could share my screen, that'd be splendid. There it is. El Chameleon Golf Club. This is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, probably one of the true, like, accuracy over distance. Everyone kind of hits to the same spot. If you're wayward, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you see only 7,000 yards, just a shade over. It's not overly long. And it is a Greg Norman design golf course, which many of them, in my experience, playing some and also what we see on the PGA Tour, more importantly, they tend to give you a little bit of room. But if you miss what they give you, it's really penal. And so you see on this golf course, you see the musgroves and areas where you can't even go looking for your golf ball.
Right.
But there is some room. It's not so tight where, you know, normal shots are ending up out of play. You gotta hit good shots. But if you do, there's enough room. And I think the Paspalum greens are another factor here. Something that's very interesting. They tend not to get as quick as, you know, Bermuda grass greens and the Florida swing or something like that. And they tend to have a little bit less break than most. So I think driving accuracy, players who really can control their golf ball are going to be important. I do think the greens open up the field to a variety of different putting levels, if you will.
I'm glad you brought up Paspalum because it's almost like the unknown entity in our world, because the places that you see it are generally the tropical places near oceans. It does better with salt water. So it's a strain of grass you'll find more in places where we don't usually have shot link, Greg.
That's right. You're talking Puerto Rico,
yeah.
Corrales,
yeah.
Here. Yeah. No shot link on any of those.
Correct.
We did have it at Kiowa.
We did.
Where there was strokes gain data.
Yep.
Is there another one where we had data?
Mexico.
Oh, Mexico.
Vedanta Vallarta.
Yes.
Has Paspalum greens.
Another Greg Norman golf course.
Yes. But for the most part, we don't have the strokes gain putting numbers. But what I still like to look at, and I want to get your thoughts on this, are guys that play well on it, right? So you'll see like Emiliano Grillo has a ton of rounds and gains a lot on Paspalum greens. Now, I cannot specifically attribute that to the putting just because we don't have the strokes gained breakdown, but it kind of goes into the thought process that there's not usually a ton of break. It's usually a little bit slower. It's usually a little bit more forgiving to the guys that generally struggle with the flat stick.
Yes. And even think back to Mexico last year. John Rahm was struggling at the time with the putter and he won. Tony Finau was in the mix before he really found his flow with the putting. There are a lot of examples. Grillo is a great example as well of somebody who Joel Damon, when he won down there, he didn't necessarily have great results with the putter. So it can even things out. But you got to have control of your golf ball. And if you do, well, you can make some of these putts. The break is a big factor. The speed is a big factor. It levels the playing field on the greens a little bit. So now that being said, I still like guys who are doing pretty well recently with the putter. I still think that can breed some confidence, but I'm looking at that a little bit farther down the line. I'm much more interested in what they're doing off the tee. And even though the data doesn't necessarily show it, I'm obviously interested, very interested in what they're doing with their iron play, because that will yield a lot of birdies. And when you combine those two things, ball striking, it gives you a really good sense of how they are feeling with their golf swing and how much control they have over the golf ball.
The other thing, I can't, I guess I could pull up the field from last year, but we've got kind of like a top heavy, fun little field here, right? Obviously, Victor going for the three-peat. Scotty Scheffler's here, Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau. That's kind of the big four. So it's going to present some opportunities to get some bigger names in our lineups.
Yes. And now I do think that 10K range, which has five players in it?
Six, I think.
Oh, six. Oh, yeah. Horschel's in there. Mm-hmm. So you got six players in there. I think it's going to be really interesting how you kind of construct it. But I did find some really good value in the 6K range. which you're taking a chance on some of these things. But I think there are some really good options down there, which I'm really looking forward to getting to that. There's a couple players in the 7K range who I really like as well, and I feel like they may be a little underpriced. So I think you're going to have options at your disposal. If you really like one of these guys up in the $10,000 or $11,000 range, you can play them. And you might be able to get two of them in there, depending on who the guys are that you really like. So I think this is a really fun board because you have some of the big names. And then it's a good crop of sleepers or value plays, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of fit this golf course. It should be a great tournament.
All right. Well, let's not beat around the bush any longer. Let's jump into the cheat sheet and find some names. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. Here we go. $10,000 range. Two golfers over 11,000. Scotty Scheffler, 11,400. Victor Hovland, 11,200. Colin Morikawa at 10,600. Tony Finau, 10,400. And then we round this whole thing out with Aaron Wise at 10,200 and Billy Horschel at 10,000. Greg, before we even mention a name, worth noting, last week, Seamus Power was in the $10,000 range. He won the golf tournament. Thomas Dietrich finished second. He was in the $10,000 range. If you go to the DP World Tour, Jordan Smith victorious. He was in the $10,000 range. The year of the chalk is turning into the decade of the chalk.
Yes, it's incredible. It really is incredible.
It's incredible.
And we've talked about it at length. We talked about it last night. We're probably going to talk about it a week from now on Sunday. Yeah, we're talking about it right now. It's been incredible. And if you really want to just take my rules, my typical rules of engagement, and twist it around in my back, well, then Victor Hovland is your only play. He's going for a three-peat. He's in the $11,000 range. Clearly loves the golf course. And everything that we've seen over the past year says, yeah, he's going to win again. Because a lot of people think he is. And he's right there in the top two in pricing and DFS. And it just looks like Victor Hovland is going to win again on the PGA Tour. So congratulations, Victor. I can't wait to talk about it more throughout the week.
It's funny. So Victor missed the cut in his first two starts in 2019 and 2020. And so I asked him about this, and he was actually getting like he'd gotten a little pressure like, hey, why don't you skip Mayakoba, right? This might not be a great place for you. And he, as you know, he's very mature for however old he is, like 24 or 25. And he's like, I'm in my early 20s. I'm not sure what good golf courses are for me yet, what bad golf courses are for me yet. He goes back in 2021, wins it, obviously defends last year. So yeah, maybe missing the cut in your first two starts is not the end all be all.
No, it's not. Especially when you're as young, it's not like a new event out on tour and you have experience and you've grown with the golf course. It doesn't fit your eye. It doesn't look like any of the places that you play well on. But this from an outsider's view, even if you take away the wins, there are a lot of things that go in his advantage here. One is he's a very accurate hitter of the ball. And he has some length too, so it really does give him an advantage. And then his iron play, he's very aggressive. But the areas of concern, right? Short game. We talked about this at Congaree. That was a very concerning type of grass, very concerning areas around the greens. But Paspalum is one of the easiest surfaces to chip and pitch off of. Even though in Puerto Rico, Victor Hovland had his struggles, I think his short game is better than it was then. But this is a great surface if you struggle with it. It tends to sit up a little bit on that hardy grass. You get great lies around the greens, and it's not quite as tight as a Bermuda grass, especially Bermuda. It's not quite as tight as bent grass greens. So this really sets up well for him. And then you look at a guy who's been putting extremely well over the last little bit, not lights out, but he's a moderate gainer week in and week out. I wouldn't classify him as a great putter, but he's definitely an adequate putter, and he seems to have the Paspalum greens figured out with his success in both Puerto Rico and now here at Mayakoba as well.
Yeah, he's gained with the flat stick in like 10 of his last 11 starts. Not all of them in a big way, but gaining is gaining. The only golfer more expensive, Greg, is Scottie Scheffler. $11,400 for a guy who looked at his putting, realized it was a problem, made a putter change at the CJ Cup. He went with that Scotty Cameron prototype, more of a mallet style putter compared to the blade that he normally plays. And that was not the quick fix. In fact, he lost 4.25 strokes putting, the most since the 2021 Tour Championship over a year ago. So is Scotty lost with the putter? Is there a chance? Like that's the only thing wrong. The rest of his game is unbelievable. If he puts to a plus one this week, he probably wins it.
Yes, this is it's becoming concerning for me. It really is. Now, I will give him a little bit of leeway. When you go to a putter change like this, it typically doesn't take a lot of time. Like you see somebody put a new driver in play and I'll give him a couple of weeks to kind of figure it out. But you also don't see that direct effect to scoring unless it's really bad. In which case, they're probably going to go back to the workshop and experiment a little more. But the one thing that I'll give him a break on about the CJ Cup is how difficult those greens were. They were extremely fast and very slopey and very stressful. And if you weren't quite trusting yourself, that is not the place to... not the tournament to try to figure all that out. So it's not surprising that he didn't have a lights out putting week just because of a new putter. I think the greens were really high level. That being said, that can also really hurt your confidence. And it can feel like, okay, I made this change, but I'm not sure that I don't know yet if this is what I need to do. But now we're going to much easier, much more manageable putting surface. And if he's stuck to it and he really believes in that process and that plan, you could see him get by with the flat stick this week and still win. So I like Victor Hovland more than Scottie Scheffler because of these questions. But if there was a world where he was very unpopular and everybody had those concerns about the putter, then I would be comfortable playing Scottie Scheffler. Because if there's one area of weakness I want in this event, it's putting. I think that it's more easier to overcome than, say, driving accuracy.
The three Paspalum starts for Scottie Scheffler: T18 at the 2019 Mayakoba Championship, a T8 at that PGA Championship at Kiawah, and then a fourth place finish at this same event last
year. Pretty good. Year.
Yeah, pretty darn good. The rest of this 10K range, Greg, let's just kind of open it up here. We've got Morikawa, we've got Tony Finau, we've got Aaron Wise, we've got Billy Horschel. I think we probably agree Morikawa and Finau are, you know, long-term in that upper tier, and then there's a drop-off to Horschel and Wise, but those two have been playing great, and you know I'm a big buyer on Wise kind of longer term.
Yeah, and I really, especially Finau and Wise, I'm very keen on this week, but I think Morikawa is a really interesting conversation. And I have been looking at him for a while now. Really, well, the first two events this season, I said he's going to pop soon. We've seen some really good, really steady, you know, ball striking, which is to be expected. And in a year where he kind of lost his swing, he was still third on tour last year in strokes gained approach and right. seems to have his fade back.
Remember how much we were like, oh my God, he's so lost. He has no idea what he's doing. He was third in strokes gained approach.
Yeah, it's amazing. He barely ever loses. It's just like if he does, he loses a shot. And then he has the ability to gain five and six just approaching the green. It's such a valuable asset. But the last two measured events, he's lost over six strokes putting. Now, again, there's a world where I want to attack that. And if I think a lot of people are going to end up going to Hovland because of his record and Morikawa, these guys get lumped together sometimes. If everybody kind of favors Hovland because he's trying to three-peat, well, Morikawa is a great spot for a flash-up victory. I think these greens are a lot easier to putt, and I think someone with putting struggles can alleviate some of those issues. And then he checks every other box, right? He's as accurate as it gets with any club in his bag. He's going to put the ball in play, and if he can just get a couple of putts to fall, the guy's going to be right up near the top of the leaderboard. So it's very concerning to me. And if he's the top dog you're playing, it's a big risk. But I think it could pay off, especially if ownership is somewhat low on him.
The other thing about this 10K range as a whole is there's so much good course history here. You know, we already mentioned Scheffler, who's gone 18th and fourth. We've already mentioned the Victor Hovland has back-to-back victories. Finau, 16th and an eighth in two of his last four. Aaron Wise, 15th, second, missed cut, 10th. That's his last four. Billy Horschel, no worse than 33rd with two top 10s in his last four. So if you're a course history guy, the only one who doesn't meet the criteria is Morikawa, and that's just because he hasn't played it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it should be, I mean, maybe the best course fit of any of them. Right. If you took their previous results away and you looked at their style and what you want out here at Mayakoba, I think Colin Morikawa would be my top choice. Yet he doesn't have that. But man, I mean, Rick, this is a really hard range to parse through.
Yeah,
because I can make a great case for everybody. I mean, Tony Finau, look at what he's done with the putter. And you know what he can do tee to green. So you look at what Tony Finau has done with the putter since the Open Championship. He's gained strokes putting in every event. He's closed two tournaments out on Sunday. He led the PGA Tour in final round scoring average last year. So Tony Finau in the last, you know, since July has answered the biggest questions, the biggest points that you could criticize Tony Finau on in his career before, closing tournaments and putting. He's answered the question on both of those. And what are we supposed to do with that? I mean, we're going to fade him? We want Hovland that bad? I don't know. I think it's a really tough call.
I think those two. I think Victor and Tony are going to be quite popular. And then I'll be interested to see kind of how the rest of this tier shakes itself out, because you can't play all of them. You can play two of them. You can, but you can't play three of them, and you can't play all of them.
So what's your strategy when you look at a top of the board like this? Do you try to play two of them? Do you go ownership based?
Yeah, I would play two of them, and I would at least one of them is probably going to end up being Scottie Scheffler or Colin Morikawa, just because they are literally like their path to victory is very, very wide, and if they putt to a zero, they might win. And I think they're going to be the two guys kind of left behind. Morikawa is just in like the sandwich pricing of Hovland and Finau. And Scottie Scheffler being the most expensive with Victor Hovland right below makes me think that he kind of gets lost in the shuffle. So I'm certainly going to have a lot of exposure to these six in general. And I like two of them, and probably one of them being more of a game theory option.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way. Because look, every one of them there's a great reason to play them. So it's hard to make those decisions. I like where your head's at.
The $9,000 range doesn't get much easier. Taylor Montgomery, Tom Hoagie, Mav McNeely, Seamus Power, fresh off victory. Jason Day, Emiliano Grillo, Brendan Todd. There's a lot to like here, Greg. Where do you want to start?
All right. I want to start here with... I'm not going to go in order of pricing. Whatever. I'm just going to go with my favorite play in this range, and it may surprise you. Jason Day.
It doesn't surprise me.
I've been watching Jason Day for a while. Obviously, I mean, a majority of his career, but of late, he has answered a big question, just like Tony Finau. I love seeing this. Earlier in the year in California, we saw him play well at Torrey. We saw him play well at Pebble. And questions started coming up, is Jason Day back? And I had my concerns. When somebody who has great course history has a resurgence on a course that they love, I'm always a little skeptical. Is this just Jason Day at Torrey and he loves the place and he knows how to get around there without his best stuff? I mean, he was just bleeding strokes approaching the green coming into that event. And it cost him on the 16th hole, I think it was. But anyway, he just was really struggling in that department. And then it didn't turn around. He wasn't back. And he went through a really rough patch with his iron play. But since the 3M Open in July, end of July, he's gained strokes in every event. You're talking about seven straight events where Jason Day has gained strokes approaching the green. This is how Jason Day became number one in the world. It's how he won a major. It's how he won five times in 2015. Right. I mean, this is a very dangerous combination when Jason Day starts striking it nicely with his irons. And I tell you, you watch him, he's got the distance control figured out. He's got trust. And if he were right now in that same situation at Torrey Pines on number 16 with that back left hole location with a chance to win, he would pull the shot off now. And he wasn't ready for it then. So I'm very high on him.
Seven straight gaining on approach. You know the last time he did that, Greg?
What, 2016?
17. The end of 2017. It culminated at the Tour Championship that year. He was ranked. You want to guess what his world rank was?
Three?
Seven.
Ooh.
Still inside the top 10. So
yeah, I think that was the year he contended in the PGA at Balti, I believe. Jimmy Walker won. Or that was 16. I'm sorry.
PGA, he won it in 15. Then in 16, let's see.
Balti, he was close. Yep.
And then 17, he had that stretch. Then, so that culminated at the Tour Championship. Then he started off 2018, the new season, great. And he won at Torrey a couple months later.
Right.
So he was feeling it then.
He was feeling it. And this is why. This is the answer. You look at his results, where he finishes in, say, the FedEx Cup and where he finished approaching the green. Mm-hmm. And typically, if he's good with his irons, he finishes really high. And when the irons started to slip, his results started to slip a little bit as well.
I'll throw out Brendan Todd. So,
yep.
The idea of, so this is where like everything comes together, right? This is like, oh, Brendan Todd, what are his strengths? Well, he's a very good putter and he's very accurate off the tee. Okay, cool. What types of golf courses should he fit well? How about El Camaleon? Yeah, on paper, that makes sense. Well, yeah, it also makes sense off of paper too, because you look at the history around here, it is the win. So last 3 years, win, T8, T11. But here's the other thing, Greg. Look at this. So twice this season already, he's played four times this year, gained five on approach at the Fortinet, seven at the CJ Cup on approach. That is not necessarily his bread and butter. But if he marries that with the great putter, keeping it in play on a golf course he loves, it's got to be a Todd situation.
Yes. And this is like another example. And he was one of the names I wrote down for this range, too. It's another example of, say, the Russell Knox play last week, which was looking better than it ended up for a while. But anyway, it's beside the point. A big area of weakness for him is the driving distance.
Right.
And so when it comes to strokes gained total, he loses a lot in the off the tee game when he steps on the first tee because of the distance. So he has to be extremely precise off the tee to gain strokes. But here on this golf course, you need to be accurate. You don't need to be long. And so again, it takes his biggest weakness and it mitigates it. And that should, in theory, highlight his strengths. And I think you've seen that in the past 3 years here. And right now, he has to be coming in feeling very confident with his game. He's not going to be a every, you know, seven straight top 10 finishes kind of guy. But when you start to see him pop up at Fortinet, at the CJ Cup, and play nicely, hang in there at the Shriners, it's a really good sign. So I think Brendan Todd is probably my second favorite play in this range behind Jason Day.
The rest are no scrubs, right? Seamus Power coming off the victory. He finished 11th at this event last year. McNealy has three straight top 18 finishes. He's never finished worse than 26th at this event. Tom Hoge has found his form again. That's five straight top 13 finishes and a third place in 2021. And then Taylor Montgomery, who straight across the board, eight consecutive starts inside the top 15. This is the dilemma, Greg. This is the problem with playing two guys in the tens, is then you don't play anybody here. And this is pretty rich. So I think we have to have a conversation around I love all of these guys, but is it worth passing all of these guys for two guys in the tens? Is it that big of a difference?
Well, they all have win equity, right? They all do it there. And I think they're in some ways a little safer. Right. They provide a really safe floor here. If it weren't for the recent history that we've had where all the favorites win, I mean, this 9K group is strong enough to start a lineup in. We go two 9K guys. Oh, that's great. I mean, how do you say no to Tom Hoge? He's gained over four strokes approaching the green in his last three events. In his last four events, he's gained strokes putting two or more. I mean, that is the recipe right there.
And I've seen him miss some shorties. So he is putting better, good enough to be gaining at least two, and he's still missing the shorties, which means there might be a little more juice to squeeze out of that.
And how do you say no? How do you say no to that? Well, because Taylor Montgomery is right above him, who just doesn't know what outside the top 25 looks like.
Right.
He just doesn't know what it looks like. Now, Matt McNealy, you could start getting into and parsing this out and saying, well, you know, he isn't gaining a lot of strokes tee to green. So I can kind of rule him out, but then his course history is great. So that's kind of hard to rule out. We haven't mentioned Emiliano Grillo yet, who has been having a great season on the greens, a very nice season with his ball striking. And you know what his resume is here and on past Palom. So what are we going to do? I mean, I think you got to get somebody here in this lineup. Now, maybe you can get an Aaron Wise and a Brendan Todd, and maybe you can end up with room for Tony Finau as well. I think you get into this range. If you don't go with Todd, it's tight. You're not getting two 10K guys if you're getting one of these guys. No. So you got to pass over this range. But now look, we're down the board now, what, 10 guys, 15 guys? Mm-hmm. And there's one. I mean, how do you rule anybody out? You could play anybody in that group. I'd feel I could come up with a reason to play every single player in the 10, in the 11, 10, and $9,000 range.
I can't disagree.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, it's stacked. This is the week, and I don't need to get off on a tangent of like PGA Tour live coverage or whatever. I don't know what the coverage is this week, but this is such a good, like, people are tuning in to watch the guys they bet every week to watch the like my dad probably doesn't care that Maverick McNeely or Tom Hoagie's playing in this event, but like I do, or like I want to see if Taylor Montgomery is going to finish inside the top. This is such a good field for the people who follow this every week.
Yes. And I mean, even when we get down to the 8s, 7s, and 6s, there are guys down in the 6K range who I want to know what they do. And if you're watching this right now, this is, you're licking your chops at this kind of, at this tournament, because the players that you're interested in are there, and the golf course seems to fit them really well. So I agree with you, Rick. This would be a great one to have, you know, every shot broadcasted.
Well, I don't know if that helped that we just like everybody in the 9K range, but hey, we don't say that every single week. So we're going to continue to roll on we'll get to the 8s and we'll find some value. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And we're back. $8,000 range. Harmon, Dietrich, K.H. Lee, Alex Noren, Russell Henley, Keith Mitchell. Then the bottom is Adam Hadwin, Andrew Putnam, Matt Kuchar. Small little $8,000 range, considering this is a 120 golfer field.
Yeah.
So pretty big, and a small $8,000 range here. And this is where I think we at. There's some good guys here, but this is where the drop off feels like it happens.
Yes, I agree. But I think there's some real ability level showing here in this range as well.
Okay.
And it does make you feel a little bit more comfortable going with two 10K guys. So the first one I'll go to, Rick, is all the way down at the bottom of this range, and it's Matt Kuchar. I love Kuchar this week. It's really hard to compare him to, you know, a Tom Hoagie or a Taylor Montgomery and say, well, his likelihood is as just as good to have a really high performance. But you look at what he's been doing lately, and it's a couple of really nice finishes, a couple of really nice ball striking weeks. Yeah. And now he goes to a golf course where, again, as we've said, accuracy is the more important aspect.
He's still very accurate, Greg. Still
very.
Yeah.
And he's been gaining strokes approaching the green lately. And he had a great putting season last year. So I think there's a lot of things to really like about Matt Kuchar, including course history, course fit, recent form in the last, you know, 2-3 weeks. There's a lot to like about Matt Kuchar, and that price becomes really attractive as well.
Is he using a local caddy this week, or is he taking it's this week, right? This is the place?
Yeah, this is the week. Yep, this is the week when he won here, and then all of a sudden a lot of
speculation
came out that he paid his caddy $5,000. I guess they had agreed upon it, but this was a big story when it happened.
Yeah.
People went nuts.
That used to be the big story in golf is, yeah, they agree, which I get it. This is a gray area where they agree before the week he's getting X amount of dollars. If he misses the cut, that caddy's getting that amount of money. Now he happens to go on and win it. And I think maybe, if you win a million, 1 point, whatever, maybe you up it a little bit, but that was the biggest story. Now it's like defamation cases, political stories in the New York Times and the New Yorker's writing. It's just like, think about how much has changed since then.
Yeah. I bet you he won't be asked about it.
Oh no. People are like, we got other stuff to care about.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to live? Yeah, right. Nobody's wondering what you're paying your caddy. But anyway, hopefully he's not taking a local. He's bringing his guy with him. But I think he's set for a really good week.
Thomas Dietrich, worth noting, is in this range. So he is 80, I believe 89. Yeah, 89. Yep. No, 8,800. That is $1,700 less than his runner-up finish last week. Now, I get it because this is obviously a much stronger field, but I keep going back to it being like top heavy, Greg, right? It's those, it's that top 12 or whatever it is, the tens and the nines. And then it's pretty wide open after that. You could argue Dietrich got a $1,700 price increase and he's like the 13th best player in this field, which is pretty strong.
Yeah, very strong. And the results speak for themselves. He's definitely shown the ability to compete on the PGA Tour, right? That line that for some players is really difficult to jump, where you've had success on the DP World Tour. You come over to the PGA Tour and things are just different, whether it's the travel or the coaching or the courses, whatever it is. Sometimes that creates an issue for players. And he's crossed that line really nicely with a couple of top 10 finishes, a runner-up in Bermuda last week. He's got to be feeling really good about his game. And I think it's a nice spot to play him. I'm a little I don't like him as much as Brendan Todd, and I don't like him as much as KH Lee right below him. And I understand that why that's – there's not really a good reason for it. But I'm very interested in KH Lee, who also is coming off of a top five finish.
Yeah, he's been great.
But I just feel like the President's Cup gave him a boost of confidence. And I think you're going to start to see his game show like TPC Craig Ranch abilities at other golf courses. And that's the next step for him. And I think that what he did at the CJ Cup was a big part in that.
The only other one that I have a question about, Greg, is Brian Harman. This is fascinating to me. Brian Harman, on paper, this should be a great spot for him. He's accurate off the tee, very good with his wedges. This has the shortest set of par threes on the PGA Tour. Three of them are 150 or shorter. One of them is like 112 on the scorecard or 129, something outrageous. Which, by the way, what was that short par three at the Country Club? What number was that? Downhill?
11.
Okay, 11. I knew it was like 11, 12, 13-ish, and I knew you would.
Great hole.
Great hole. Now, Brian Harman has been horrible here, which doesn't make any sense. He's played here 9 times. It's a lot of losing strokes. His best finish is a T26. That was a decade ago. So what do you do with this? A really good course fit, a pretty decent lead-in form, but the course history, especially all things considered, is pretty abysmal.
Yes. And I think, unfortunately, you're in a place where you got to stay away. Now, if you make your lineup, and some of the guys we talk about below him in the, you know, sevens and sixes, if you really like some of those guys and you build your lineup that way, and then you get your favorite top guy in there and you end up with enough room for a Brian Harman, well, my hope is that you have room for Brendan Todd instead. So it'd be a complete contrarian play. But I don't think you can trust that course history at this point. Not with all the other options around him. I mean, Dietrich is a great option. Todd's a great option. KH Lee is a great option. And he kind of gets sandwiched in there. And while the recent form has been quite impressive and the course fits impressive, there's likely something he just doesn't like about it.
Anybody else or anything else in the eights before I move us on to the seventh?
So one other guy who I think is probably in a similar position as Brian Harman. I really like what he's been doing of late. Andrew Putnam.
Yeah.
It's been really good, but his best finish here is a tied 62. T62 in 2014. He's played it 4 times. 2 missed cuts, a T64, a T62. But the difference is he just a different player now? Has he kind of come into his own a little bit? I'm curious about that. I'd be more willing to overlook Andrew Putnam's course history than I would Brian Harman's.
Yeah, I mean, you could make the case. So his 2022 season was his best season since 2019. And then it's obviously a very small sample size, but his 2023 season is currently on pace to be his best season ever. So you could argue he's a different golfer or a better golfer.
It
could hold a little bit of water.
Yeah. And I mean, his short game has been great. His iron play has been great. He's been putting lights out.
Yeah.
It's just hard to look past for me, but he would probably be my, I think I'd go KH Lee, Kuchar, Dietrich, Putnam would be my top four in this range.
That's pretty fair. I'm not going to argue too much with that. 7K range, lots of guys here. Starts with Patrick Rogers, who played well last week. Also Sebastian Munoz. Then it goes down to the flat $7,000 price range. Austin Smotherman, he made a little bit of noise last week. Danny Willett, Martin Laird, Will Gordon, amongst others. So let's start picking this apart, Greg. Where do you want to start?
I'll start right up at the top with Sebastian Munoz. Now we know what happened at the President's Cup, which was spectacular. Since he's played the Zozo and the CJ Cup, and top 40 in both of those, but nothing really spectacular. Kind of struggled on the greens a little bit and doesn't have a great record here. But don't you feel like he's due for a 61?
He's always got it in him. He's like the only guy from the President's Cup. And it's weird because he was like the best one at the President's Cup who like didn't immediately snap off and contend. It's like we're just waiting for the rubber band to snap here.
I'm like, well, this is his turn. And again, not a great record here. And maybe he's not accurate enough to handle a golf course like this. But I have a sense that you're going to see that rubber band snap, to use your analogy. And I do think it could happen here. So I'm very curious about him. I feel like he's a little underpriced. If he was at 8,500, I don't think I'd be taking the chance, but I'm much more willing at 7,900.
The other guy, or one of the guys, Dean Burmeister, I've been kind of tracking. He's almost in the Thomas Dietrich camp of he's been playing all over. It's been some Korn Ferry Tour events. It's been some major championships. It's been some stuff on the DP World Tour. It's been some PGA Tour events to start this season. And kind of no matter what, he's played well. Right? Scottish Open, T10, Open Championship, T11, had a great run at the Korn Ferry Tour playoffs where he had two top fives. Then he finished fourth at the Sanderson Farms just a couple of weeks ago. And then Las Vegas, he made the cut. Like, just put him in a field and watch him work his way towards the top of it. I like the way he kind of sets up when you can find your game literally across the globe.
Yes, that is a traveling scratch, if you will, right? It works anywhere. So he's a good player he's a really good player to keep an eye on. I think at 7,700 as well, Harris English is another guy that I have my eye on too.
This is a chance to be early, I think.
Yes.
Harris English, right, Greg?
Yes. Now I've wanted to be early on him for the last 3 weeks and it's been so-so.
Yeah.
So. But we've seen back-to-back events where he gained strokes approaching the green. And I have a feeling that things are getting a little better for him in the golf swing after his injury. And he has a really nice record here as well, which goes a long way. Back-to-back top fives. He won here back in 2013.
Yeah.
It feels like a good spot to get right.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I like, yes, he's definitely playing better golf now than he was last year. He seems to be trending in the right direction. And now he's going to maybe one of the better spots for him, right? The win in 2013, the back-to-back fifth place finishes that you mentioned. So that's my chance of, I have not invested much in Harris English over the course of the last 12 months, but if I'm going to take a stab, now feels like one of the better times to do it.
Yeah, I agree. It's not as safe as Burmeister. By any means, but I think it's a good opportunity to take a risk, and you're probably going to get some low ownership on him, I would imagine, as well. You got anybody else jump out to you around here?
There's two that I'll kind of throw together. Robbie Shelton is 7,600. Will Gordon is 7,000. They both played well for most of last week.
Yeah.
Will Gordon, I think, struggled on the weekend. Robbie Shelton just on Saturday, but I'm willing to kind of forgive and forget because I saw the upside of the other couple of weeks. And then Joel Damon, I want to pull up his results here, but if you go and look at his past Palom stuff. Obviously, the win at Punta Cana, he's got a bunch of great past Palom history, and it looks like he's starting to get back into shape, which is T13 at the Sanderson Farms, gaining 4.5 strokes on approach. Made the cut in Vegas, gained over 4 on approach there, and then finished 16th at the Zozo, which was a much more difficult field than those other two. I think we're, again, getting pretty good timing here on Joel Damon as he goes to a past Palom golf course.
Yeah, I think so too. Trending in the right direction, but not, you know, on fire where everybody wants to go his way. So yeah. I think he's a really smart play here. And he's an accurate hitter of the golf ball too. So the course fit is just perfect. But I had two other guys I wanted to mention as well.
Sure.
Hayden Buckley and, well, yeah, I guess Lee Hodges too. But Hayden Buckley, I think, is really interesting. And I can't figure out, I feel like in a way I'm missing something. Because he is always this underpriced, you know, like this value play. You think this is a fair spot for him to be at 7,500? I mean, you're talking about 3 straight top 20 finishes, including a tied fifth. A player who has elite skill sets, especially off the tee, has shown the ability to pop off with the putter and with the iron play as well. I feel like we're kind of ready for a slingshot to snap with him too.
Yeah, this is pretty good. Great stat profile, great finishes, 3 straight top 20s. We had chatted about, I watched a lot of his play in Vegas, and he left a lot of strokes out there and still finished T20. I think that's why we played a lot of him at the Zozo Championship.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, the consistency in the ball striking categories and the rest of this stat profile that I can live with, this is pretty solid for somebody who, what did you say it was, 7,500 bucks?
Yeah, 7,500.
It's pretty solid.
I feel like it's not enough. Anyway, so he and Lee Hodges are second year standouts. I had them on my list at the beginning of the year as second year standouts. And I think they're guys that I'll be watching week in and week out. I'll be mentioning their name every week here on this episode, until they show me a reason not to, or they become something that everybody else talks about before I get a chance to. So I love the profile of Lee Hodges as well. I've watched the golf swing. It's fantastic. He's shown an ability to handle some of the pressure. And I think he's ready to be a PGA Tour player now. And this is also another really good course fit for him.
A lot of green on that player profile. Yeah. A lot of green. Nice to see. Okay. Let's find some true value here in the $6,000 range. I mean, we can just start. Kevin Yu, right? All over it last week. He's 6,900 bucks. He finished third. The ball striking numbers, I assume, were there last week, but it doesn't really matter when you finish third. But how can you not? He's now cheaper. He's cheaper now than he was in Bermuda. How can you not go back to Kevin Yu?
You have to. And again, this isn't like a just a random player. We talked about it last week. It's exactly the same conversation, although now we know it. We thought it last week. Now we know it. And all of a sudden, this guy who's a college superstar is in the 6K range coming off a tied third finish. Hey, he's an elite player. He's been an elite player at every level. The stat profile is a lot more attractive than the finishing positions were. But now when you add this T3 in there, it's like, okay, things have clicked for Kevin Yu, and he is the best value on the board. If you leave ownership out of it, he's the best value on the board. So I'm all in on Kevin Yu. And I think there's opportunity to play 2 6K guys, which you may have to do if you're going to go an 11 and a 10.
Yeah. Where else do you want to go here in the sixes?
I go down the board a little bit. And I think another player that we talked about last week, we did pretty good with our value plays last week.
I'll tell you what, outside of me just writing Seamus Power off the planet of that, that's on me. That's on me. But we kind of killed everything else. It was pretty
good. It was really fun it was fun to see that in that field. But I'm going back to the well with David Lingmerth.
Okay.
Finished tied 11th in Bermuda. Another really accurate hitter of the ball. Not an overly long hitter. And I love the value here. I just think it's a great setup for him. And I think he's inspired to be playing. Now, he's never made the cut here, but he also hasn't played since 2017. So I'm interested in him. He's also 6,300. So I'm willing to take a chance on it.
Let me also bring Max McGreevy into the conversation.
Played well.
Yes, he did. And he had the best weekend of anybody last week. He gained like 7 strokes on the weekend. But here's the problem. Can he do it again? Because look at this set of results, Greg. I'm going to go back to the Canadian Open. Cut, 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 13th. Cut, 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 5th. Cut, 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 8th. That's very Garrick Higo-esque.
Yeah, it really worries me. Now, unless there's one time when I would look at that and say, yeah, he's a good play. And you see those 4 boxes up on the top center of your screen. Yeah. If the top 2 are green and the bottom 2, or preferably the bottom right one, is red, and that's the hinge point, you know, you see, well, if you see a green box in the putting category, then you see one of those top 5 finishes in the results column. But we don't really see that trend here. There's a lot of losing with the ball striking.
Yeah.
And so that inconsistency of results matches. And I don't expect to see anything different this week.
It's just impossible to predict. You know, you could roll them out. It's just impossible. But do you like that? Like, looking at the last 2 rounds from last week, Lingmerth had the second best weekend. He's 6,300. McGreevy, as we mentioned, had the best weekend. He's 6,200. Kevin Yu had a great weekend, 69. Higo and Endicott. I'm just pointing out the guys that are in the $6,000 range. Right. Like Aaron Baddeley is 6,500. But do you like looking at that the last 2 or 3 rounds, or throwing a round out, or like, you know, trying to, because we're obviously scraping the bottom here.
Yeah, of course. And you got to look, there's a couple of factors at play. Like, what the good news is, and why this is a really nice opportunity to do what you just did, Rick, is the profile of a player who's going to have success in Bermuda isn't far off from the profile of a player who has success here. Although I wouldn't consider them course comps, I do think the course fits kind of match from a statistical standpoint. So it's not like there's some reason why those guys went out and had great weekends that's going to be vastly different this weekend. So I do think that's a valuable piece of information.
We this is my fault. We missed Justin Lauer in the 7K range.
I wrote his name down too.
$7,600, which is, I believe, $2,300 cheaper than he was last week. He gained a stroke in every round. I swear he was T8 on Thursday, and he sat at T8 for the entirety of the tournament. And that is just more great, great play from him. We should have mentioned him in the $7,000.
Yeah, he deserves it. He's been really steady. And another second year standout, right? Held on to his card last year. It was emotional. And now he's coming in and taking full advantage of it. He's been really fun to watch.
Accurate off the tee, you know, loses in distance. But again, here, that's not super important. So yeah, that's a great stretch of golf from Justin Lauer.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Anybody else in the 6K range worth mentioning?
2 other guys I'm curious about. Okay. One is a flyer, complete flyer, but the price is just fascinating to me. That's Patton Kizzire.
Oh,
okay. Patton Kizzire, 6,300. He has won here before. The results after haven't been great, but he has never missed a cut. And the other thing I find really interesting about Kizzire is the results of late haven't been great. Sorry, I don't mean to rhyme. It just happens some of the time. But they haven't been terrible. It's red. It's a little bad in every area. But it's not a disaster week over week. You know, if any one of these weeks was mixed in with some more positive things, you'd say, oh, well, okay, that happens. That's just what a statistical profile looks like. But, you know, he's losing less than one off the tee in two of his last four, and he's losing 0.35 approaching the green. And granted, he's missing cuts because of it. But I just wonder if it's closer than it looks. And his ability, the ceiling is the ability to win. The price is, well, he's been losing strokes in every ball striking category for the last month. And he hasn't been making any cuts. Why he's at 6,300. I feel like there's a gap there, but I understand it's a flyer.
He would make a great Dr. Egghead. Look at that mustache. It's strong, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It gets kind of, I think he asked Eric Van Rooyen to shave his so he could get a little publicity.
Nice.
It just gets overlooked, but it's nice.
Was there one more in the 6K range?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Ryan Moore.
Oh.
Ryan Moore has gained strokes approaching the green in his last four events. Two of his last four, he's gained putting. He has a couple of nice finishes here as well. Well, one, I guess you could call it two, but tied six here in 2017. And he is still, to this day, extremely accurate off the tee.
Yes.
Extremely accurate. And he kind of has that hinge point where it's all up to the putting. You'll see him lose strokes off the tee. Like at the Shriners, he finishes tied 28th. He loses two strokes off the tee. He's playing from the center of the fairway, I promise you. Mm. It's just, you know, he's sub 160 with his ball speed. It doesn't go very fast. So he loses strokes. But everything else is really sound in his game, and I think it's a great course fit for him.
His clubhead speed this season is 103.43. Greg, that's how fast I swing the golf club.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a, you know, I think that's probably around the range of like my hybrid.
He finds the center of the club face more often than I do, but that's not very fast.
He'd take you out back and wax you because the guy is so good.
I see.
Watch out for him when PGA Tour Champions comes around.
I see him all the time around Vegas, and it's just like I will not fall into the look at this guy. Let's go play. You know, let's go play nine holes for $100 a hole. It's like, no, Ryan, leave me alone.
No, I know who you are.
We're not doing that. You're ugly. You're ugly. Your swing is ugly, and it's slow. No, and
it's brutally accurate.
It's so good. I would love to have that game.
So I think that's great value at 6,300.
All right. There you go. Plenty of value in this field. You're probably going to have to exercise said value if you want to stock up on those, you know, top 12 or so, which are clearly some top tier options. Now, I believe we have some strokes gain narrative lineups, and I was parsing through these, Greg. This is going to be a disaster for me. These are all horrible for me.
Well, good news is, Rick, we're an hour in on Halloween night, and hopefully everybody's out trick-or-treating and they've turned off. They've turned us off at this point.
Yeah, I've never asked you to turn off the show before. Go ahead and just turn it off. No need to continue watching this one. Let's see what we've got here. Julian, see, we're already off to a rough start. He says, nod to the trophy to the tune of Karma. So I'm Dr. Egghead over here, Greg. Karma must be a song. We think Taylor Swift, but I don't know this song.
No, she came out with a new song called Karma, but I don't see that in the lyric. So I'm leaning towards it's not a Taylor Swift song.
So here's what I'll say. Go look up Julian on Twitter, Julian Noble III. And if you know this song, you can sing it to yourself in your head. It's got Armors, it's got Palmers, it's got some yous and woos, and you're going to have a great time following along if you know that song. I have no idea what that song is.
Neither do I.
Eric says, okay. So Eric did a little bit of a crossover here with the Early Edge crew. So his AB, not Alan Bell, but Aaron Baddeley and Uncle Dave Richie Wierenski.
Yeah.
Pop stars Alex Norin, M Squared. That's an easy one. Mav McNeely. This one. So it's not Francesco Molinari. It's Francesco Coach. That's a good one, Greg.
Yeah, I like it.
And then this one, cousin Emil Ciano Najat. It was a Ciano Najat Emiliano Grillo crossover.
Oh, Cia, I'm sure, did not expect to get mixed, to be called Emiliano Grillo, to have his name mixed in there, and he'll be thrilled about it.
Yes, we're missing Cia today, but we'll have him back as soon as possible. Ryan, a staple here in our Sharkskate narrative lineups. These are much easier, and they are Halloween items, and these are pretty good. How about this one? Zom Byung Hyun Kim.
I love it.
That's pretty good.
I love it.
Patton Kiz Vampire.
Easy, simple. You can read it and we get it.
SH Pumpkin. JT Ghostin, not JT Poston. Robbie Skeleton. That's my favorite.
This is my favorite.
Witchy Warinsky.
Yep. Awesome.
Strong, strong, strong. And then he says hashtag Doug Gim Reaper. I think we have one more. One more slide. Okay. This one, I don't know what we've done here, but this is from DFS Influencer, who I believe has taken golfers in this lineup and said what they would be for Halloween or what they look like. His words, not mine. Kevin Streelman, quote, literally David Lee Roth with a nose job. I don't know who that is. Brendan Todd, Buffalo Wild Wings manager. I guess this is what he's going as for Halloween.
Okay.
Taryn, gloved villain Jason Statham beats up.
Okay.
Patton Kizzire looks like an NFL referee, apparently.
The mustache will do that.
K.H. Lee, this one's obvious. He's a supermodel.
Yep.
Didn't he call himself the sexiest man in the world?
Yes.
Yep. And then Billy Horschel, no doubt about it, multi-platinum selling hip-hop artist.
Oh, wow.
Maybe the best-dressed man on tour. Would you agree, Billy Horschel?
Yeah, he's up there. That's for sure. I like the shoes. The shoes are something that not everybody likes. Some people don't. I like the classic look. So
it's a classic look. And yeah. I respect it. I just don't like it.
Yep, I understand.
Yeah. John Markowski. Thank you, John, for sticking with candies here. It is Halloween. Victor seeking to three-peat. So three musketeers. John's going with Halloween candy. First off, Snickers Hardy. Great.
Awesome.
Kevin Milky Tway. This is why John's the goat. Nestle Crunch Hodges. Nestle Crunch Hodges is, I guess, how I should say that.
Yep.
Dean Burmister Goodbar.
That's so creative.
So funny. Party Smarties Laird. And Joel Damon Joy. Damon Joy. Yeah. Oh, boy. Good job, John. Thank you very much for that.
Very good. Whew.
Anything else, Greg, before we get out of here?
I'm looking forward to it, Rick. But lastly, happy Halloween. And just brush your teeth.
Happy Halloween. Brush your teeth. Be safe. And we'll be back on Tuesday for a mega preview pod. For now, producer Troy does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme available on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.